I'm turning to 1 Corinthians, Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 9, and I read verse 25. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. While we're in a single study, we're thinking of Christian self-control. And the apostle touches on this, and he speaks in such a way that makes it such an important theme, as well as sometimes even frightening. And so Christian self-control, what a virtue, what a wonderful virtue to possess. And the apostle in this chapter shows its great necessity. It is necessary for our usefulness. It is necessary for any serious walk with God, if we would walk with Him in all sincerity. And in fact, the apostle Paul in this chapter will show that should we lack it, we may actually be those who are not converted at all. And so that makes it a very fundamental theme, which we must look at the single theme tonight. So what I want to do is try to go through this verse, a number of verses here, from 25 to 27, and then I will try to bring along about two or three other verses, seeing their words in relation to this, and then we'll try to close it all. And so friends, let's look at this verse first, this section first. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Apostle Paul drawing from the area of competitions, particularly the Olympics. And so where you have the race to be run and people competing for all kinds of things. And Apostle Paul draws this example from here. And he tells us very briefly, you see verse 24, Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. So he has in mind that running, isn't it? That race to be run, which is so important. Now, one of the striking things is that in verse 24, the race he's talking about, actually the Greek suggests the actual distance to be covered. And so we have this distance, as it were, set before us. 100 meters, 200 meters, 4,000 or so. And it is set before us. we should run it. In Hebrews chapter 12, I'm not turning to it, in verse 1, where we are told also that there's a race set before us, and we should run, making sure that there are nothing that hinder us or really stand in the way, besetting sins and things like that. In that place, it refers to the race itself, the race, the event we are running. This one is about the distance to be run, and this is about the event we are currently running. So in other words, the Bible pictures that there's something, there's a manner of life, there's a manner of Christian lifestyle in terms of our living, our commitments and things like this, with God Himself has set down. And the child of God says, I must get them, I must possess them all. I must strive so as to make sure I have them all by the time I end the race of life. And so, and then in the process of running it, he's so careful about himself, how he will be able to comport himself, hold himself together, so that he actually runs successfully. And so, friends, that's the idea. So you have the race set before us, as well as the event into which we are set to run. And so here, as the race set before us, the kind of thing set before us, for us to pursue as Christians. And Apostle Paul tells us in verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery, or striveth for the prize, that's what it means in the Greek, that strives for the prize, is temperate in all things. Temperate there is our word for self-control. He's self-controlled in everything. The one who is running, well, if the person is merely doing it for some health purposes, he may still be running and then going ahead with all kinds of things. In recent times, I read, they were saying that I don't know whether it's a good advice or not. I really have to be careful how I say it, so I don't pass on a bad counsel. But I had said that, in fact, that is a very reputable news channel. They were saying that, in fact, if you exercise well, if you knew how much time you needed to exercise, you can eat whatever you want, because the exercise will burn all of them away again. So you must know how much. So that if you did that number of exercises, you may not have to worry yourself, well, am I taking too much sugar? Am I taking too... Well, you can just burn all of them away. Please be careful about that anyway. But anyway, that's the idea. So even though I am running, I still want to enjoy everything. That's the idea. But that's not the apostle point. The apostle is saying this. The opposite is this. The one who is running for a prize makes sure he controls himself in everything. What he would eat, how much sleep he needs, where to go, how to spend his time. He wants to get the prize. And so he's so determined on that. And Apostle Paul adds, now, in order to encourage us, now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we, an incorruptible. When the Olympian had put himself into all that very harsh training regime and had gone through all those self-denials, what does he get? A medal. Yes, some money, of course. But that's all. It will be spent. Who knows what happens by the time he turns 50, 60, 70? What else will he be doing with his life? And yet, look at all the stringent training he brings himself to, and the kind of things he's willing to let go. There was a British Olympian, one time, Fiorana, a swimmer, I forget. But when she had won the last gold medal, she said she was retiring. And people were saying, oh, why are you retiring? So in the news, they were asking her, and she said, oh, people do not know how much I've had to give up. I really want to go back and enjoy them. And so on. She wanted to go back and take them all over again, because she'd really given up so much. I really have to limit how much time on my social media. I have to limit how much I eat. And all these things I've gone through for all these years. It's now time to take it easy a little. And so she was going back to them all. You see, how much they are willing to go through, and yet all they get is corruptible. In the days of the Roman Olympics, it was only public honor and only a wreath put on your head. A wreath made of leaves put on your head. It would become useless in a short time. Only has a public fame. Everybody will say, look at him, he's an Olympian. Something like that. And that's all that people enjoyed. And I was supposed to say, look at them. Look at them. How my discipline they put themselves through in order to get that which is worthless. How much us, my dear friends. So he pushes the idea of self-control to be so much for the Christian, far more than anybody else. It is the Christian who must see what is set before him and say, anything that I may do, so to bring me to be that useful to my master and to serve his purposes, I'll be willing to go through. I'll be willing to bear and endure. I'll be willing to suffer it, because the rewards far outweigh the sacrifices, and the rewards are imperishable, incorruptible. It cannot be taken away from me, and so I'll be willing to do it. That's the idea the apostle gives us here. In fact, he pushes the matter even further. Look at verse 26. I, applying it to himself now and also to us all, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I do not run as if I'm not sure of what I'm doing. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You know, friends, this is some of the attitudes that some nowadays, whether through charismatic influence or through fallenness, is so very common in churches today. You find people who are serious with everything, but not serious with the church. I find it so painful. The same person is very so strict about anything, but never with matters of church. You say, where are your priorities? What are the important things for you? Judge for yourself. Apostle Paul compares and says, look, ours is better. My dear friends, no one should be more serious. Nothing, let me say this way. Nothing should be more serious to a Christian than his worship and his service to his Lord. If anything ever proves more serious than that thing is your idol. You've made a choice, and it's not the Lord. And the Lord notices it. You have people that, you know, sometimes you have to tell people the kind of thing they dare not do in their office. The kind of thing they dare not do in their business. The kind of thing they dare not do in any way. They want to do it in the church. What a shame. What a betrayal. What a demonstration of who they really are. What a shame. No, my dear friends. When the things of the Lord, that is where we take along our deepest seriousness and our deepest carefulness and our deepest thoughtfulness. We get into them and say, hey, this is a holy ground. This is the most important place where every care, every watchfulness, every commitment is required of me, says the apostle. But how does it come? It comes by self-control. You say, well, when I'm converted, when the Lord Jesus Christ saves me, washes me, and puts a new nature in me, these things grow. They don't come one day. You don't just get up one day and become very committed to the things of the Lord. In fact, you have everything to drain your commitment in this world. But if you understand and say, this is the Savior who loved me, this is the Savior who brought me to a contact with God, that I'm now a Christian, a person with hope, and with spiritual capabilities in me, and I want my life to count for Him as I would strive, and I would ask for help, and I would seek to listen to Him and discipline myself, hold myself. I didn't tell you the meaning of the word temperate or self-control. It simply means self-restraint. I will hold myself in hand. I won't just let my thoughts go. Anything that pops up into my head, I think is a nice idea, I'm going to pursue it. Anything that I desire doing, I say, oh, I feel good about this, so I'm going to do it. I say, no, let me hold it first and say, is this proper? Is it acceptable? Will it really help me to make that progress? It is not only the things that are out and out sinful. The Apostle Paul, when he used the Olympian as an example, is not talking about things that are out and out sinful, but they are things that are legitimate. However, I notice something nobler, higher, so I want to get it, so I let go of this thing that which if I had pursued, I would not be wrong, I would not be sinning, but I say, oh, let me ration it, let me lessen it, let me only keep it in proportion as much as is suitable to enable me to carry through my big objective here. And the Apostle Paul said, this is how a Christian thinks. He doesn't simply take hold of anything and say, I enjoy it, I like it, I'm interested in such things. No, you don't do that. You say, no, yes, yes, number one, is it sinful? If it is not sinful, okay. Number two, will it help me to really become that useful person? Will it really help me to mature and to really be available to my Lord? And to make me a spiritual person, really spiritually minded person, more under the rule of the Lord and His Spirit than under my offense. I'm not bringing in those reasonings of the Apostle Paul. Remember, he said that all things are permissible to me, but I will not come under the rule of anything. You remember that he said he will not be ruled by anything because he wants to be ruled only by Christ. And know that he's only under his government. So the thing may seem permissible, and yet he says, wait a minute, can I gradually come under its power? So that it begins to control me, so that I no longer want to obey the Lord. Apostle Paul said, then I'm not going to do it, because I want to be under Christ's rule, and I want to be governed by Him alone, and I want to be under His influence alone. And so, friends, and look at how he even pushes matter forward. Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I'm not running as if I don't know what I'm doing. I am not, I'm not engaging in a kind of a fun game. And so you see, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I'm not merely practicing some funny things, and I'm only doing it because I enjoy it, things like this. No, I am not unaware of what is at stake. I am not unsure of what is at stake. I am aware of everything I am doing. Rather, this is what I do, verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. From the Greek word that is translated, I keep under, is an interesting word. I think you will laugh at it. Actually, is that literally it means I punch it under the eye. It's like a boxer. I punch it under the eye. Why did Apostle Paul use such a term? Because he's saying, even if I should, it should involve a measure of pain. In order to bring my body into subjection, I will do it. And so, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. My body, my fleshly interests, I hold it. Bring it into subjection. I don't want it to dictate. You remember we are studying in Romans, and Apostle Paul says this, that I know that within me there is nothing good. You remember that in chapter 7? In me there's nothing good, but I have a delight in the law of the Lord. He makes us see that he's like a two persons, two creatures in a person. And so we remember we said that any time, and that's what exactly what he was teaching there, any time a Christian rises up and says, I think this is what I like, I think it's the way I am going to do things, I think it's the way I'm going to respond to things, well, I am throwing myself into the arm of my fleshly self, and I will sin. I will sin. A child of God rises up and says, yes, sir, these things are all before me. What is the mind of the Lord in it? Then I am throwing myself into the arms of the Spirit. Whenever I'm saying, but what has God said? The very any time I say what I want, I'm going to my old nature, fallen nature, which though overthrown, yet still is still there seeking some influence over us. But any time I rise up and say, I want to listen to the Lord, I want to obey, I want to be clear of what God says about us, that's when I'm living as a Christian. That's when, as Apostle Paul is saying, I'm not going to let the body be the one to dictate and to tell me what to do and how much to eat and how much to sleep and what to spend. I'm going to say, but I am a Christian. What my body tells me, I must wait. And I must wait in the balances of Scripture. Will God be pleased? Will it reduce me to be somebody ruled by my flesh? Will it help me to run the race set before me? Will it help me to become a better Christian? Will it deepen my godliness? Will it hinder my life of prayer? I remember when we were young Christians, we were often taught these things that, you know, sometimes there are some things you watch on the television. They're not terribly bad in themselves. But I remember they would ask you that question. After you've watched that thing, can you pray? And some of these little clues were very helpful. After you've watched it, can you go on your knees and pray? Sometimes you realize, yes, I enjoyed it though, but you know, if I move from there to prayer, I really struggle terribly. And so then you have to be careful, you know how to ration it. It may not mean that you turn away. If it's a wholesome thing, it may not be to turn away entirely, but you ration it. You know that, oh, I dare not give it so much time. And some of the things we're told, for example, no, the Bible tells us that God is jealous. How much time do I give to television? How much time in comparison do I give to prayer? You have to ask. These are very frank things to face up to. Because then you show where your real interests are, my dear friends. And so these are the things. Who is ruling? Are you willing to fight yourself? Take yourself in hand. And I'm sorry for bringing in some of these new converts things. You are told, be careful at the table. When you sit at table and all this food is put there, you're a young man, young person's youth, it's a period of food, isn't it? And you are there, and all the food is here. And one of the biggest temptations is when you have, if you forgive me, do I have time? When we're living, when I was a young Christian, where we're living, we're really young men who were strugglers in life. And so we're living at the church quarters. It's a nice place to live because you were among Christians. And one of the things we had to contend with a number of times was food. So every brother brings the food, and of course we share things like this. And one of the wonderful times was when there was a wedding. So when there was a wedding, the food and everything would be put in our rooms there. They would ask for one of our rooms, and they would put all of them there. So you are waiting until when there's a leftover. And they can tell the young person, oh, all the leftovers for the young men. If I'm not careful. And then who were counseled, be careful. When all the leftovers are for you, you can eat as much as you want. That's when, be careful. Take yourself in hand and say, so much and no more. Take yourself in hand. Now you're alone. You can't sleep as much as you want. You just say, I am a Christian. I need time to read. I need time to pray. Take yourself in hand. Sorry. Regulator still. How much do I need to sleep? Things like those. That's what the Apostle Paul means. Take yourself in hand. Here you are. You think you have a good income. You can spend as much as you want. And here you are walking through that store. And everything is nice. Oh, that shoe, or that clothes, or that thing, something there. And everybody, one of them say, bye, bye, bye. Remember that story? You walk and everything say, buy me, buy me, buy me. But a Christian says, but I am a Christian. My time, my money is in mine. I am the Lord's, and everything I possess is His. I dare not spend them as much as I want. Otherwise, I'm giving myself into the arms of my flesh and to ruin me. And I'll become weak. I'll become a weak Christian. I give in one area, gradually comes into other areas too. And I grow weaker and weaker. And so take yourself in hand and say, I must think, I must process, I must weigh matters. Is it really necessary? Do I really need this? Why? Oh, there's a question that Dr. Masters has a book on Christian stewardship. He has a very searching question. He says that if all Christians spent their monies this way, will anybody support the work of the Lord? You have to ask that question. This is why we are here. If we are true Christians and strangers in this world. And so the Apostle Paul says, I knock my flesh under the eye. I bruise it in the face. I bring it even into pain, possible, if that would help, in order to bring me to hold myself in hand, friends. And listen to how he makes it so important. Look at how he asks, what he asks. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Isn't it a solemn statement? You would think he had moved from something less important to something extremely important. No. He would, I would turn to a few more texts and you'll see it very soon that how connected they are. He says this, I do this because I have a fear. Number one, he said, because there's a reward to be gained, an incorruptible reward. But he also says this, I do this because I have a fear. The fear is this. I may be a nice preacher, and I tell people all the nice things. If I fail to take myself in hand, and the flesh rule me, it may be that after I've done all that, I myself will be regarded as somebody unapproved. God says, rejected. You were never my servant. Because my servants will be self-controlled. They'll be ruled by my spirit. You remember Romans tells us that if we are ruled by the flesh, we would die. You remember in our studies in Romans? If I'm ruled by the flesh, says the apostle, I will die. If the flesh becomes my master, I will die. But if I, through the aid of the Spirit, put to death... Oh, friends, we need to read that. Romans chapter 8. I'm sure you remember. In our studies in Romans, I'd not wanted to read it, but just look at it here. Romans chapter 8. And verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Why? Because, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They that are able, by the help of the Lord, to say, I'm not going to be ruled by what I feel, what I like, what I'm interested in. I'm going to ask, but I'm a child of God, isn't it? So what is the will of the Lord? What is the mind of the Lord? If somebody is willing to do this, he gives evidence that he's a child of God. If somebody doesn't want to do this, let him be the finest preacher. Let him be the finest person. He must fear that one day he will be a castaway. An apostle even applies it to himself. Even I, an apostle, my fear is this. My dear friend, don't take this lightly. Dear friends, we must live being afraid. We must live such that we are afraid of losing our self-mastery. That's the term. Self-restraint, saying, I must always be under rules. I must say, I am under rules. I cannot do as I want. I cannot do as I want. I cannot buy as I want. I cannot spend my time as I want. I am under the rules of the Lord. I am His. I am His servant. The Savior has purchased me to belong to Him and to belong to Him alone. And so I must reflect it. If that doesn't reflect, then I may prove myself not to have been a converted person at all. A genuinely converted person may for a while slip into that, but we know that the Lord will come in with His chastisement. If because He loves us so much, He will not let us go. He will bring in with chastisement. He will take away some of the things that are becoming our idols if we are His and His love is upon us, and so as to rescue us from that kind of condition. And so friends, it makes it frightening, isn't it? That lest that by any means, when I'm preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And Apostle Paul would be willing even to bear some pain. Let me let you read two more passages that relate a little to this. Remember, I want to go first of all to an unbeliever. I'm sure you know Felix in Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. Well, friends, before I go to Acts, I want to go to Galatians first, please. So Galatians first, and I'll come to Acts, because I want to try and connect it in some way. And so Galatians chapter 5 and verse 23. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 23. We all know this passage, start from 22. By the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There comes again, isn't it? Against such there is no law. One of the important things that preachers have always loved to point out is that even though the Apostle Paul was going to mention 9 items, he still uses the singular, the fruit singular of the Spirit. He didn't say the fruits. He said the fruit. Why? Because it is the work of the Holy Spirit, and He never bears one and leaves the others. He will bear them all. He will bring all of them to pass in a child of God. A genuine Christian will bear, but through weakness, some of them may be weaker than others, but they will all be there because it is the fruit. And by contrast, you will see that when he was coming to that of the flesh in verse 19, uses the plural. you see, because that's an entirely different thing altogether. But why is temperance the fruit of the Spirit? Because Christian self-control, only the Holy Spirit brings it about. Because only a Christian holds himself in check for the sake of God's honor, worship, service, and name, friends. Why? Why should he not? If he has all the time, why should he not he just completed school, just finished his JHS, SHS, or whatever. He has the free time. Why should he not just lie behind the television and pluck in one video after video and then simply waste away the time? No, he has a master. Only a Christian feels this way. Only the Holy Spirit makes us feel that we are under his rule. This is the wonder of conversion. See, nobody comes to you with the rules. You, that which he's taught you, he moves you. And you want to keep it. You want to be firm with yourself. Even when you are alone and you are on your own, you are very firm with yourself. Yes, as I said, we grow into this. But you surely desire to do that. You want to grow into that. Also, it is the fruit of the Spirit to show us that every child of God, if you would give thought to this, you will be very successful. The Holy Spirit will help you. It is a fruit. If you'll be desirous to please him, desirous to please God, the Holy Spirit will aid you. And you become a self-controlled person. Regulating your time wisely and everything about you wisely. Because you belong to the Lord. And you are his. It is the fruit of the Spirit. So you see, we are not talking about nature. There are some people that are very naturally able to regulate their lives. But friends, if they are not converted, they only select some areas. That's the problem with them. They only select some areas. Ah, see that man. When it comes to his time, hey, you dare not let him waste one minute. Oh, look at that man. When it comes to his money, even if it's 20%, be careful, you have to account for it. He's very strict on that, which is okay, which is very commendable. It is a good thing. But that gracious self-control brings that person under the same strictness. Everything he knows, everything he's aware of, he says, I must come under God's rules, not his own rules, not strictures he has put in place, but that of God, because he was holding himself in check in order to be able to obey the Lord. The purpose is to obey the Lord. The purpose is to have his pleasure. The purpose is to make us useful to him and available to him. It's not myself. If it's myself, it would be for pride. And be able to point out to people, oh, look at what I do here. No, the child of God does it every part of his life. And so, it is the fruit of the Spirit entirely. So friends, let's not be afraid. If we are determined about this, we'll make real progress. Because the Spirit of the Lord will help us. If we really want to honor the Lord in this. Let me contrast that. Let me contrast that with that this morning in Acts chapter 24. Remember, Felix. Acts chapter 24. You know, and this is a governor, a big man. And yet, you know this. And it's one of the things that, once again, preachers love to talk about. So, it's Acts chapter 24. And please, let me pick from verse. I just want to shorten it, please. And, please, let's come to verse 23. And he commanded a certain centurion, I beg your pardon, yes, centurion, to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, self-control again, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Friends, self-control is the most, one of the most touchy spots with unbelievers. As I said, he may have tried to discipline himself in terms of time, in terms of money or things like this. Oh, he will let loose some part. There are aspects in his life he doesn't really want to be regulated at all. He wants to feel free to do whatever he chooses there. And of course, that's never a Christian attitude. And friends, never slip into this. And so when the Apostle Paul was speaking about that, why did the Apostle Paul use these three terms? Why did he touch on them? Well, friends, we could give many reasons, but one of them is this. Apostle Paul seems to know that the bigger people are in social standing, the weaker they are in self-control. I don't know how true it is. When I was going to Cape Coast last week, I don't know whether you heard it. Let me not be the one to be telling you these things. That's not my purpose. But as I was going, somebody was on one of the radio stations, and he was saying some things that he said, some pictures that have come and things like this. And he was saying this. He's saying that every president is a womanizer. And that every president has an extramarital affair. And he only has people around him who knows how to keep the wife from making noise, so the wife's heart doesn't break. Whether true or not, I don't know. If it's the first time I'm hearing it, I've never ever thought that. But it's possible. But friends, the fact is this. The bigger you are in your own eyes, the weaker you are when it comes to self-control. Because as I said, there will be selected areas that for the purposes of your work, purposes of your office, you may become very strict. Because you don't want to incur displeasure, things like those. And you leave a whole room where you go very loose. It's Apostle Paul knew human nature very well. Friend, why am I mentioning this? Because this is the unbeliever's fear. May not be true with us. We want to hold ourselves in restraint in everything, to bring ourselves always under the rule of the word. What does God say? What's the will of God? This is another area. What's the will of God? When you are confronted with any fresh area, dear friends, the first thing you do is to pray to the Lord. New challenges are coming. Pray to the Lord and revise in your head. What are the scriptural principles that must throw light on this situation, this new case that is coming? Now I've got a new job, and in this job, these are the challenges that will be coming. Now, one of your first things to do, if not the first thing to do, is to say, I will have to be true to the Lord. The Lord puts me here for Him, not for myself. So what are the principles to hold up so that I may keep myself in check, so I don't let myself go before I realize the devil is using this new employment to let me lose my guard, before I realize I'm now rushing every day and I'm praying very little. And I don't have time to read anymore because I didn't think and I didn't wait. When offers are made us, dear friends, let us decide what is more important. When offers are made me, dear friends, you know, when you talk about it, I hope, dear friends, you would understand. It's painful if Christians can't understand that you are being offered, well, you have a job, and you think you are being offered extra something. Yes, it will bring in extra income. Am I only interested in extra income? Well, may I also say, but what effect will it have on my worship? What about my service to the Lord and my availability for prayer? Can I maintain my communion at home? Can I maintain my time? Are you only really throwing yourself on merely because money, extra money, is really waved in your eyes? How can that be Christian? How can such a person say, I'm a Christian? Well, I'm like Felix. All along there is soft spot, and the devil will keep making use of that. You see, a child of God is holding himself in check in every department. Why? Because there's a crown to be won. And there's a danger of coming off as a hypocrite And so he's afraid. And he's really striving to keep his eye upon the Lord and to keep the Lord first. Oh, my dear friends, it applies to every department. Remember what the Apostle Paul said? They are temperate, they are self-controlled in all things. Those that want the prize are self-controlled in all things, not in some things. People who are selective on the will of God really despise Him and do Him a great dishonor. They show that they don't love Him at all. They that are humble and truly delight in Him, delight in all His ways. That's what 1 John bears witness to. We are children of God because we want to obey the Lord in everything He teaches us. Let me draw attention to one more in our time. I believe we'll be over. 2 Peter, where he mentions this another time. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. Let me start from 5 to make it clear, dear friends, please. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. You see, temperance mentioned there again. And then, friends, look at what he says in verse 8. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He mentions 7 graces there, and temperance is one of them. He says, if all of these are there, it will make us useful, fruitful to the Lord. We become people that God can use. Now, if we don't, verse 9, but he that lacketh these things, lacks all of them or any of them, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And then he asked this challenge, verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. You will never fall entirely, he means. We will be stumbling, but we will never fall entirely, friends. As you see their importance, all of them, temperance is one of them. And he puts it in the midst. It has the fruit of the Spirit. It was the last fruit to be mentioned in Galatians 5. Here it is the third. It's put in the midst of knowledge and patience, and that purposefully, without self-control, without self-mastery. All my knowledge is a sham. It's only a talk show. Without self-control, why? I cannot be a patient person. If I don't learn how to take myself in hand, I will become easily irritable person. And I grow weaker and weaker because I don't say, oh no, wait, when the temper wants to rise, somebody is doing something against me, or somebody is saying something against me, and the temper wants to rise, you say, wait a minute, ponder the matter. Wait and see, is this worth anger? You see, a self-controlled person takes himself in hand. And is willing to process matter and to weigh matter so that he knows the proper way to respond. Without it, patience will fail. My patience will dry out and I'll become a very weak person. And then eventually I will spoil all my witness because my reactions and overreactions will always be out of place. And then I become unacceptable to, oh my dear friends, what a virtue. How we should long for it. Friends, it's one of the virtues that nobody ever feels. It's really gone. It's really advanced too much. Because you are always seeing an area you must bring yourself into check. You pass tomorrow, today you find a fresh conflict. So that's the challenge. But we must say, it is the fruit of the Spirit. It glorifies the Savior. It makes me fruitful. It makes me useful to my Master. And it will deepen my assurance. The more self-controlled I am for the sake of the Lord, assurance is deepened. A sense that I'm a genuine child of God and not a hypocrite deepens. If I lose it, you lose assurance. Because many things will weaken. Prayer will weaken. Studies will die. and your character, you only maintain the bare minimum character, you will never be a deep person, strong in the Lord, strong in your heart, because the Lord has made you strong, determined, and you can hold on and say, this is the will of the Lord, and I will do it, I will persevere in it, and the Spirit of the Lord will uphold you. Without self-control, you will never become such a person. May the Lord spare us, my dear friends, and then we'll become strong Christians, glorifying our Lord, doing so much for Him, and He will bless us and make us useful and make us truly happy and rejoice in people. Friends, I don't know when, let me say this, what sports that do you like? I ask you. If you like a sport, something like that, those of you who like sports, sometimes you want to learn a particular trick or skill in that sport, and you struggle. Maybe you want to be a footballer, of course, one of the young persons then. Or what about the ladies, please? You want some sports, you want to be skillful in that, and you realize that you struggle to get a particular skill going. And you know somebody, he's trained until it comes so easily. As you struggle to really do that kind of work, he does it so easily. Well, you admire it, isn't it? You admire. You wish you could do that. But do you know how much training, how much sacrifice, how much discipline has gone into that? Friends, there's something admirable in self-control. If you see a person self-controlled, you admire, especially that Christian who, by the grace of God, is self-controlling so many areas in his life and has been brought to a point where you just can't pull him along anywhere, anyhow you choose. You want to pull him here and say, no, please wait. I think I'm governed by this principle. You want to pull him there and say, please wait. I have to think over that and see how it fits into what I'm persuaded. Well, you want to take him there and say, please wait. I don't think I can go with you yet. I think I have to think through and see. And then, when somebody says, this is not a feeble, flabby kind of creature. A strong person, isn't it? That's the kind of people that don't want us to become. Strong. Because we know how to take ourselves in hand in order to bring ourselves under the rule of the Word of God and under the rule of Christ, to feel His government directing our lives everywhere. That's Christianity, friends. That's Christianity. May the Lord help us all and strengthen every one of us. Now,